All right, as we continue our study on the Christian home, I want us to see that the fathers are the glory of children. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Now, I want you to understand, as you read the Bible, you discover the Lord places a tremendous emphasis on the home. He created the home, He created the church, He created government, but He puts a great emphasis on the home. Now, the word mother is found in the Bible 363 times. But when you read of the word father, it is mentioned 1,300 times. And yes, God has a definite message for fathers. Notice what it says in Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their what? Fathers. Now, what a wonderful expression, children's children. That would refer to what? Grandchildren. They are the crown of old men. So if you have grandchildren, you're old. Simple as that. Then, take notice of the expression, however, the glory of children. The Word of God says the glory of children is their what? Is their fathers. How many here remember when you were a little boy? I mean, some of you are a little old. I don't even know if you can remember those days. But anyways, remember when you were a little boy? Did you ever say, my mom can beat up your mom? No, it was always what? Your father. You always looked towards him, did you not? And you always bragged about his strength or whatever else he was. And that is what you talked about. You didn't talk about anything else. You didn't talk about your mom that much, although you did, but not like you did your dad, because your dad is the glory of their what? Children. Now, we live in a world where many children have no glory. You say, what are you talking about? Many don't have fathers that are around. And if they are around, some of them are negligent and they don't fulfill the duties that God has given them to do. You know, when I was growing up, my father taught me many things. You know, he taught me hard work. And you know what? When we worked, we worked. I mean, there was many a weekend when he ruined my enjoyment. I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to be with my friends. And he would come Friday night. He wouldn't let me know earlier in the week. He says, I hope you don't make any plans tomorrow because you got work to do around here. And you know what? I didn't appreciate it back then, but I appreciate it now. And you know what? When he told us to do something, we did it. And you know what? We didn't need a supervisor. Because if we didn't get it done, you know what? It was to our detriment. He taught us hard work. And you know what else he taught me? He taught me to pay my bills. I'll never forget the time he told me. He said, son, pay your bills. He says, if you got to starve, you starve, but you pay your bills. You know, that is something that's missing in today's society. He never taught me. He said, hey, if you can't afford it, just go bankrupt. He never said such a thing. He said, pay your bills, boy. It's important. Pay your bills. You know, he taught me to respect the elderly. You know, if I was sitting down, an elderly person came up to me and started talking to me, if I didn't stand up, I wish I had. And you know what I said? I always said, yes, sir, yes, 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 ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir. Those were things that he taught us. He taught us always to be grateful. He taught us that our word is our bond. He says, what you tell somebody, you promise somebody, you better show up and you better do what you said. You also taught us, you know what, there was plenty of things that my father taught me. And those things were ingrained in me. He taught me to say, yes, sir, no, sir. He also said, thank you and please. Those were things that were necessary when we were growing up. And they still are, I believe, today. And fathers, you need to make sure you instill those things in your children. But you know what? What I didn't learn when I was young, I didn't learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a cult. You say, oh man, you're calling that a cult? I sure am. It's not Christian. It's not biblical. And so, but you know what? That church at least taught me, you know what? Right from wrong in many cases. And one of the great things they taught me was that the Bible is the Word of God. And I'll never forget that. But you know what? Here's the thing. Fathers need to be Christians. I'm not talking just about being believers. I'm talking about being Christians. In order for children to glory in their fathers need to be saved and be living for the Lord. Every child should know that their daddy has trusted Christ as their Savior. Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again. And to be a Christian, we need to put our faith in Christ, finish work on Calvary, nothing more, nothing less. And we need to live what the Bible teaches. Our children should know we're Christians, not because we go to church, not because we carry a King James Bible under our arm, not because we wear a tie and we dress right when we go to the house of the Lord. They should know we are saved by the way we respond to problems that we face in everyday life, by the way we treat our wives, their mothers, and by the way Christ has changed our life. There should be a difference between us before we were in our lives and everybody else. And we as fathers need to make sure our light shines brightest at home, not in the church house. Because if it only shines at the church house and not at home, your kids won't have any glory to look up to, and they'll think you're a hypocrite, and they're exactly right. Fathers should have Bible-based convictions. You know, I had no problem understanding where my dad stood on issues when I was growing up. Now, he wasn't always, I told you I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But I'll tell you what I knew where my dad stood on things. You say, what do you mean? Well, for instance, he taught me patriotism. I'll never forget watching Walter Cronkite during the Vietnam War. And my dad looking over at me one day, and they were talking about all these deserters running to Canada. He said, son, you ever run to Canada? He said, I'll hunt you down. You wish you went to Vietnam. He says, you don't turn your back on your country when your country needs you. He taught me patriotism. You know what else he taught me? He told me to take a stand for what's right. He says, you know what? You don't have to back down. You don't have to cater. Don't let your friends influence you to do wrong. Now, it didn't always take when he wasn't around, but I'm just letting you know. He told me those things. He had enough conviction. You know one thing I never heard? I never heard my dad cuss. Never. I'll never forget when I was growing up, this friend of his came over and we're sitting around a table. I don't know if we just got done eating or what. But my mom and my brothers and sisters were there, and this guy came in and said a word. And it wasn't one of those biggies that you would think. And I'll never forget my dad standing up. And the guy was bigger than my dad. But he put a finger in his face and he said, you will apologize to my wife and my children right now for your filthy language, or I'm going to take you outside and I'm going to teach you a lesson. Oh, some of you can't do that because you use that kind of language. How sad that is. I grew up in a non-Christian home. We didn't hear that kind of stuff. You know what he told us? He said, you boys, you're going to look like boys. You're going to act like boys. You're going to be men one day. And he brought us up to be that. We weren't confused about what gender we were. You know, he was a man of integrity. You know, when How many remember the commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen? When my dad spoke, you listened. And you know what? Here's the thing. He had a conviction he only needed to tell you once. How many times? Not two, not three, not four, not five. One time. And when he spoke, you better listen, or you'll regret that you didn't. How's it with you in your house? Now, I'm talking about a dad who wasn't a Christian. And yet he taught us things about character and integrity. He had some convictions. Fathers should learn to live clean lives. Now, if you have habits you do not want your children to have, you ought to ask God to get the victory over them. If you have reading material in your home you don't want your children to read, well, here's a simple solution. Get it out your house. Children should never find that dad is doing anything that makes them ashamed to say, "That's my dad." If your children see you watching something on television involving profanity or nudity, you just lost some glory. You may want to think about that next time. You put some filth on your TV and they'll go running around recommending it to others. Shame on you! Stop making your excuses why you do so. Just go out and say, "I'm a sinner, I have a bent to evil, that's why I do that. And I'm too lazy to correct myself. I don't have the integrity and the character that I'm supposed to have." Remember, the glory of children are their what? Fathers. You know, in the first book of Samuel, you find a story about a priest named Eli. Now, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were to be the spiritual leaders of Israel after they followed their father, who happened to be the high priest. But they weren't spiritual, they were ungodly. And one of the reasons they were ungodly is because their father restrained them not. You say, "What do you mean? He failed to discipline them." That's primarily the father's duty. You know, some people don't mind correcting everybody else's kids, but they fail to correct their own. Or some fathers, you know what, they got wives, it's, "Don't hurt my babies." Well, since when is discipline supposed to be a pleasant thing? Now, there's a proper way to discipline your kid, is there not? And I'm not saying, you know what, you grab them by the arm and pull them and, you know, whatever else you want to do. You bend them over and you paddle that rail padded place that comes with every child. And you do it consistently. You say, "Oh, but that's going to hurt." Yeah, that's the point. No pain, no gain. How many believe God loves his children? Raise your hand. How many believe he loves us so much he wouldn't ever dare discipline us? Oh, no, he disciplines us because he loves us. And if you don't love your children enough to make them do right, you don't love them like you should. Well, anyways, the Israelites go to battle against the Philistines. And that in that battle, 30,000 Jews lose their lives, including Eli's sons. Now, the Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant, and that represented the presence of the Lord. Now, word reaches Eli that the ark had been taken. 30,000 people were dead, including his sons. When the old man heard the news, he fell backward, broke his neck because he was fat. Amen. The righteous shall be made what? No, that's not what that means. But, and he was nearly, he wasn't, his eyesight wasn't good either. But he dies, doesn't he? Well, as he's dying, Phinehas' wife gives birth to a child, and she gave that child a meaningful name. She named the child Ichabod. And that name Ichabod means the glory is departed. Now, it was departed from Israel. Why? Because the ark of God was taken. Now, she named the child Ichabod, and the Bible says the children find their glory in their fathers. So where do fathers find their glory? They need to find their glory in the Lord. When fathers do not glory in God, their children find no glory in their fathers. Here's the thing. Some fathers have no glory. Their children do not respect them. You know why? Because they're not respectable. They do not honor their parents. You know why? Because their parents aren't honorable. Now, I'm not saying that they're still not commanded to honor them. They are, but they don't. Why? Because they saw their parents when they were growing up and they saw the inconsistencies and they want nothing to do with them. Now, I'm not saying that's the case for every child, but it's the case for some. Let me say this. Can I? Sure. I'm the preacher. You got children, and they come into your house, and they bring their booze, and they start cussing. There's a reason they do. Not mine either. I don't even let friends and other people come in talking like that. I throw them out. They know better. But why would they do such brazen things? They have no respect for you. You're a chump. Did you hear me? You're a chump, and your wife's a chumpette. And here's the thing. You allow it. You allow it. Well, I don't want to upset them. Oh, it doesn't matter that it's your home. They're supposed to honor the head of your home. Chump and chumpette. Unbelievable, isn't it? Earl, you hear that pin dropping on that carpet? You have no glory. Children are to glory in the leadership of their fathers. And their fathers are supposed to be godly leaders. God has called the father to be a leader of the home. Who? The father. When you hold a little boy in your arms, that child, that boy, that young baby is destined for leadership. Not to be under some woman's thumb. God designed the family so that the father is to take the lead. And moms, you are supposed to encourage your husband to lead. Not usurp his authority and take it from him. Now, I know in some circumstances a mother has to do so. It could be because the absence of a father, or it could be the neglect or sin of the father. But God has designed a home where the man is to what? Come on. There you go. Some of you guys, you know what? Your wife's sitting right next to you and you're afraid to shout it out. I understand that. She's already plucked off the hair off your arms and you got nothing left and you cover your legs with your pants. And if they were shorts you were wearing, they'd pluck them too. Probably go to your house and you probably take a little bit off your German Shepherd and glue it on your chest. You are to what? Lead. Now, in Joshua 24, verse 15, see, my wife's loving this. It says this. Here's Joshua standing before the nation. And he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord." Now, who's speaking here? Yeah. Now, it wasn't Joshua's wife who jumped up and said that. You know, when I was growing up, that was a long time ago. I mean, we came off the ark, and me and my two other brothers, and with my dad, Noah. Anyways, but you know what? It was a patriarchal society. Men were in charge. That's amazing, isn't it? And I remember going to this one guy's house and his mom was bossing around his dad and I was like, I'm only like 5, 6 years old and I'm thinking, this is awful. How wrong can this be? Now, I wasn't even brought up in a Christian home. And I thought, this ain't right. And I'm thinking, why isn't that guy doing something and telling her to back off? But now, boy, things have changed, haven't they? We are leaning, well, we've fallen into a matriarchal society. It's amazing, isn't it? And by the way, there's something terribly wrong with a nation or a home where all these women are in leadership positions. You say, oh, you're just a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm a pig. But I'm not a male chauvinist. I love women. Some of the favorite people in my life are women. But we have different roles to fulfill, different responsibilities. And I plan on fulfilling my responsibility, whether I got your approval or not. Manhood is disappearing. It's a spiritual illness that plagues not only our nation, but our churches as well. Listen, you don't need to look like a woman if you're a guy. You don't have to be bejeweled and all decked out like they are. Amen? You should look like men. You should walk like men. You should talk like men. How many remember that song? Walk like a man. Talk. And I'm like, dude, sing like a man. Did you ever notice? I'm like, oh. Joshua happened to be a real man. He stood up. He's speaking for his house. And you know what I like about him? He said, well, Mrs. Joshua, you think, is this all right? Did I do this? Hey, your bell's ringing, Maynard. Pick up the phone. Listen, children should be able to glory in the father's leadership in the home. You know, they should be able to say, My father's the head of the house. He's the authority in the home. He is its leader. Now, I know we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. I know we all have feet of clay. We should not pretend, however, to be perfect. But it is our responsibility as men to lead. And lead we should. The more closely we follow Christ, the better leaders we will become. And listen here. If you are married and you are a man and you don't lead your home, you do not have a Christian home. Do not tell me that. You just are two believers who dwell together. It's all you got. And by the way, God ain't blessing that nonsense either. You say, oh, listen to this. Ephesians 5, 21 through 23 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, come on, guys. Yourselves unto your what? That's the only guy you got to submit to. Amen? You don't have to submit to every man. You just submit to your husbands. As unto what? As unto who? Woo! Here's the thing. If you ain't submitting yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord, you ain't submitting yourself to the Lord either. You're a rebel. For the husband is the what? Doesn't say the wife is the head of the husband, does it? How many think Pastor Rainey wrote this? No. God did, right? Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife just as Christ is the head of the church. That means he is to lead. And by the way, you ain't the neck that turns the head, girl. Well, me and my husband, we're both co-heads. No, you're a two-headed monster. Co-heads. Children glory in the love of their fathers. Listen, men, we are to love our wives, we are to love our children. That's our responsibility. If you want to know whether a man is to be compassionate, you want to know if he's supposed to express tender love, all you have to do is look at Jesus Christ. We are to be like him, are we not? Was he not tender? What is he not compassionate? Does he not love us? Now, children need to see this love in the lives of their fathers. Now, love is firm, isn't it? Love is committed. It's tenacious. It takes hold and holds on. Fathers need to commit themselves to their marriage and to their families and stick with them. This is one of the things my dad told me. He said, if your marriage isn't working out, you work it out, boy. Did you hear that? You work it out. Is it always going to be smooth sailing? How many of you ever had a rough patch? Raise your hand. Oh, man, you people are wrong. Connie, what are you doing raising your hand? You married to me, girl. All these other people got problems. We all got problems, don't we? Uh-huh. So, you know, you see people getting divorced because they're incompatible. Which two people aren't? You know, you get a male marries a female, they're not the same. I hope you understand that. We don't think alike. We don't feel alike. And we don't, as men, talk as much. No, I'm only kidding. Not really. But we are to love our families. We are to be committed to them. You know, remind yourself that Jesus wept. Did he not? He touched, he held children in his arms. He was approachable. No one ever doubted that Jesus loved. Children should be able to glory in the love of their fathers. We need to be able to lead our children to Jesus. We should set a goal early in our children's lives that they come to know Christ at an early age. You know, when my wife was pregnant with our children, I was already praying for them. I didn't wait for them to come forth. I didn't wait for them to be 4 or 5 years old. I was praying for them while they were in the womb. Now listen, we all have a rebellious nature, do we not? And children are naturally going to rebel against authority at times. Now, sometimes that hurts. But, you know, here's the thing. They ought to know that we always love them. We're always going to care for them. We're always going to be there for them. But that doesn't mean we have to approve what they're doing. Children should glory in the loyalty of their fathers. If children believe that their fathers love Jesus first and foremost, they can glory in that. Can your children look to you and say, "My father is a spiritual, godly man"? If they can't, that's on you. Can they say, "My father is going to do right all the time because he loves Jesus as he should"? Or is he a capitulator? Does he waffle? Does he give into the flesh and the world and peer pressure? Is he a coward? You hear that, Pin? You know, there's going to be times in our lives when our children are around and we'll have an opportunity to prove our integrity or lack of it. When that crisis comes, that opportunity is there. What will our children see in us? Will they see us cut corners? Will they see us give in to wrong? If we do, our hearts are going to be broken later. Remember reading a story about this preacher. And you know what? The neighbors had this little dog, little black dog, and made its way over to the preacher's house. And all the little fellows, they fell in love with it. And so the neighbor calls, says, "Hey, you see my dog?" And he says, "Well, I got one over here." He says, "Is it your dog?" He says, "Well, yeah," he says, "because it's little, it's black." And he says, "Yeah, does it got a few little white hairs on its tail?" And he says, "No, I don't think so. This can't be your dog," as he plucked the white hairs out of the tail of the dog. His son grew up and said, "I do not serve God because there was a day in my father's life where he betrayed honesty and integrity. He lied about a little dog and I lost every bit of confidence I had in him." You say, "Oh, that's just an excuse." No, it's a reason. It's a reason. You say, "Well, it shouldn't impact him. He shouldn't be looking at me. He should be looking at Jesus anyways. Why don't you be the father you ought to be?" Bible says in Proverbs 26, and we ought to be loyal. Loyal to our family, loyal to our wives. You know, let's face it, there's always somebody, some other woman out there trying to turn our heads. And you know what? We need to be loyal. People do not need to know where we stand. Our loyalty to our wives, our loyalty to our children and our family ought to be secondary only to our loyalty to Jesus Christ. A father must say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be loyal to my family. And they ought to be. Children should be able to glory in that loyalty. And you ought to be loyal to your family. You ought to be loyal to Christ. You ought to be loyal to your church. You ought to go to church and not send your family to church. Your children should know that the whole family is in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's no question about it. None whatsoever. Hey, and you're in church when family comes over. You don't stay home to entertain them. Amen. Amen. Who's supposed to have the preeminence in our lives? Family first. No, Jesus first, right? Listen. You know, the Bible says in verse 6, children's children are a crown of old men. Speaking of grandchildren. Those are the rewards that you receive for not killing your own. All right, we'll stop right there.